This is Engineer Eric from the Jimmy Dunn Show. You're listening to part two of our October 21st podcast. If you need part one, you can go to iTunes, jimmydunn.com, or your favorite podcast directory, or WIRN, or radio360talk.com.
No dark sarcasm in the classroom. Teacher, leave them kids alone.
I sent you a link. I just had a quick thought. I went to Wikipedia, and I wikied FDR.
Oh, yes. I saw that. That was great. Yeah, the first...
The first 100 days. This is what I'm really afraid of. I mean, if Obama gets in there, I think what I don't want him to do is stay up all night for 100 nights and try to fix it. Because I mean, in my opinion, that's exactly what could screw it up. And I would just ask Jimmy... Just the inflation, how much time do you think we have until we start to see some ripples through the economy on this?
It usually takes anywhere from 6 to 18 months, and I know that's kind of a broad spectrum, but it usually takes at least 6 months. The first people that get a hold of it, of course, do pretty well, and usually those are the government contractors and so forth, people that the government pays directly. But for it to actually trickle down to the average person at Lowe's or something like that, it can take upwards of, say, a year, let's say, for it to work its way through. The problem, of course, comes that once people figure out that inflation, that the prices are going up across the board, is you get an inflation expectation. And then even if the government, now, interestingly enough, Paul Volcker has been just called in as part of the brain trust. And I think it's Paul Volcker was the guy who Reagan had come in and clamped down in 1980 through 82 or whatever. Paul Volcker was the head of Bernanke is now. He was the head of the Federal Reserve Board, and he was the one that clamped down on the money supply, which caused a serious recession for about a year and a half until about 1982, during the first 2 years of Reagan's administration, when the tax cuts were starting to kick in, and the inflation was running at around 15 or 16%. That was the Carter inflation, and he choked it off, and he choked it down to about 6 or 7% in 3 or 4 years. But that's how long it took. Because there were inflation expectations. That is, the people thought that by Monday, the refrigerator was going to cost an extra $100. And so the people were raising their prices, even though the money wasn't there to do it with. And it takes a little while to wring that out, that what they call the inflation expectation. And then what happened was we got a deflation expectation. It swings back and forth. This is one of the problems, of course, with a central bank and with fiat money and with the government trying to monkey around with the money supply and keep it just right. It's real hard to do because things change. The velocity of money changes and how much people's expectations.
It's like it's got an acceleration and a momentum and everything.
Right, exactly. And it can have a deceleration and a negative momentum. It can go both ways. Whereas if you have something like a store value like gold, you can have ups and downs, no question about it, but they're usually not as severe, and they are very self-correcting because you're not having the government making a political decision about whether you should pump more money. Like right now, what we're having are all political decisions. Political, by definition, means they're fake, means that they're based on whether or not a person is going to stay elected.
They're feel-good policies, not based on the economic soundness of the policy.
Exactly. And they will say, of course, when you read these articles from the G7 and from the Australian Prime Minister and so forth, they stoutly say that this is only for us and for the victims and so forth. And when you see some of the programs, right away you know that the programs are a problem. Giving a perfect example is they want to make sure that the people that are getting ready to lose their houses don't lose them. They shouldn't have been in them in the first place. A lot of people, they had no business being in these houses. They got in on these teaser loans, and of course they're blaming the people for the predatory lending practices, but they got in a 2% loan, and they knew full well within 3 years it was going to go to 8 or 9%, but they didn't. They thought, well, maybe by then the house will be worth more, and this that, and they were gambling is what they're doing, and they lost the bet.
And if the government implements a policy like that, they're basically putting up a dam in the housing market that prevents the flow of those failed property, those failed mortgages back into the marketplace.
That's right. And not only that, then what they do is the big thing that they do is they want to extend unemployment insurance, for instance, the unemployment payments, so that people that have lost their jobs
for longer,
right? They want to extend it out. It used to be 13 weeks. I think now it's 26. They want to put it out to a year, which means that a person can lose their
100 years.
Yeah, right. Well, a person can lose their job for a year and not have to move, not have to make a serious, I'm worried about where my next meal is coming from decision. And all they're doing is prolonging the pain. And as I've said so many times before, two ways to pull the Band-Aid off. You can yank it off right away and get it all over with. The healing process begins, and in a very short time, the sore is gone. Or you can take a year to pull that Band-Aid off and have pain every single day, and you still really haven't corrected anything. And what usually happens in a political decision is they end up not pulling the Band-Aid off anyway. They end up usually putting another one on. And that's when they find that they've made a mistake. They don't back up. They don't admit it. They never admit it. It's like there's like your friends, the prosecutors, you know, when they find the guys.
He's not guilty. He just got off.
He just got off. Right. He was guilty. He was guilty of sin. I don't care what the DNA said. I don't care what the evidence said. I charged him and he's guilty. And you know, they get these guys out of jail after I don't know how many years, or don't even go to jail. Maybe they found some exculpatory evidence that was suppressed by the prosecution. No, even they find it, even when it's not, and then they still say, you know, the prosecutor of the Duke Burfins still thinks they're guilty, in spite of the fact that they found a picture of the guy at the ATM.
Knife on.
I mean, that kind of stuff. So, I mean, but this is what happens with government people. In private industry, you can't get away with it very long. You can sit there and try and cover it up. If you make a mistake, a colossal mistake in marketing or something along those lines, what happens is ultimately, if it's bad enough, you go out of business. But normally what happens is you get fired pretty quick. Somebody figures it out, and you have to lose your job. But to this business about 52 weeks of unemployment insurance, I admit, sure, you're not getting your full paycheck. Maybe you're only getting half or something like that. But it allows you basically to subsist and not look very hard for a real job. One of the little minor problems in economics has to do with the way people actually react as a psychological problem. And that is, if you're going to cut costs, and remember now, all money's wages. So if you're going to cut costs in a business, let's say, you say, okay, well, here's the way we're going to cut costs. We're going to maybe turn the heat up a little bit, or we're not going to use as much gasoline, or we're decided instead of using the fancy cross pens, we're going to buy Bic pens from now on, or so whatever you decide to do. Well, of course, what happens is there are wage structures that occur down the line that don't affect you personally. They might affect the BIC people or the cross pen people or the gasoline people or something like that. That's not your concern. But when you really have to start cutting the wages in your business, you can't, unfortunately, go and say, we're going to have, instead of doing a cross pen, we're going to have a BIC pen. Instead of you're paying you $30, we're only going to pay you $20. It doesn't work that way. I mean, people don't do that. Unfortunately, the only way to reduce somebody's wages is essentially to reduce them to zero, and then they have to go out and get a new job that pays less.
You fire them and you hire somebody who does it cheaper.
Right. Or
you just fire them and reduce your you know, total out.
Right. Your wages. No, you reduce the amount of money you're paying in actually paying in wages. My point is that person then, who might have taken, you know, at the place, ends up with his, instead of, he was working for $30, now he goes and gets a job for $20 an hour,
he doesn't even go get a job for a whole year.
Well, that's the other thing.
He's getting $15 for doing nothing.
Exactly. Well, that was the old. I remember laughing about this. The first joke, I guess, that Bob Newhart ever told. People don't realize it. He was an accountant. You know that Bob Newhart was an accountant before he became a comedian. He and his first job was in the unemployment office in Chicago, and he said, you know, I was passing out checks for people for $50 a week. And he says, I was getting 60. And he says, they were working basically 4 hours a week standing in line. And he says, I was working, you know, 40 hours a week handing this money out for an extra $10.
Yeah, exactly.
He says, somehow something didn't add up to me on that. It didn't quite make sense to me. And that's the way it is. So when Nancy and the crowd up there, mostly the liberals, you know, everything, talk about extending unemployment, of course, you have to ask yourself, where's that money coming from?
You mean Nancy, see you next Tuesday, Pelosi?
Yeah, that's the one. And, you know, I guess it's Mark Levin calls her Stretch.
She's such a
because she's had so many lifts. Oh, you know, says, have you ever seen her lips or eyes? You know,
they're all one.
They're all, you know, she's been stretched so many times.
Right.
You know?
All right. So give yourselves, 1 year on average, check your prices, up what, 20-30%?
Well, I don't know. It's a tough call because Volcker, let me tell you, if Volcker actually does anything, if he could conceivably, pull it off because he did with Reagan.
If he tightens the money supply up, then you won't get the inflation, but we'll have a little snap of a recession.
We'll definitely have a snap of a recession.
Medicine we probably need.
No question. Look, when you have a balloon, the simple fact is, when the balloon is popped, you can't continue to inflate it. I mean, the air doesn't go anywhere, and that's what they're doing to $700 billion. They're pumping this into a balloon that's already popped.
And try to wrap it back around.
It doesn't work. Keep blowing in. I mean, when you look at the market, and that, you know, when they announced, they did the all-nighter. I think we talked about this in the last show. They did the all-nighter. They came out, and on Monday morning, the market tanked. You know, eight, and they said, "Whoa, how can that be? We just put in an all-nighter. I mean, we just fixed it." And the market tanked, and so they went back to the drawing board, and they said, well, I guess we'll have to do it again. And so as we speak, here it is the 21st of October, they're still, the G7, the rich countries and so forth, they're all working feverishly to try and, what they call, recapitalize.
G7, the G20, and the G-string are all working.
Yeah, boy, isn't that the truth? Yeah, I mean, really.
G-spot, not hitting it.
That's right. No, they don't know where it is. That's for sure. I'll tell you, when you talk about the G string, I'm thinking string theory, because this is some kind of dimension that I don't know about. And that's where the money's headed, is into an alternate dimension. No, that's exactly right. But the problem is that you get a hold of it, and I'm going to read this here real quick, and then we'll move on to something else. But this is from Australia. You know, down there, Damien country.
Down under.
It's called, the title of this is Global Crisis, quote, Failure of Extreme Capitalism. And it's the Australian Prime Minister. This is the guy who's like the president, says this. Global economic crisis is a result of comprehensive failure of extreme capitalism. And I you know, there is no such thing as, there's capitalism and then there's not capitalism. I mean, there's no such thing. So Australian Prime Minister Kevin Rudd said Wednesday as he took aim at bulging executive pay packets. So, you know, a little price envy there, a little wage envy. The center-left Labor Party leader named greed and fear as the twin evils at the root of the financial sector collapse, which began in the United States and swept the world. What we have seen is a comprehensive failure of extreme capitalism. Extreme capitalism, which now turns to government to prevent systemic failure. Now, of course, capitalism doesn't turn to systemic failure. It's individuals. And it is well known that the biggest enemy of capitalism are capitalists. I mean, these are the people that have made it, and they go to government to preserve their position. That is not capitalism. That's self-preservation, or I don't know what that is. But I mean, and the government has a duty until FDR, for instance, or until 1913, the government basically said, no mas, man, you know, it's no my job. I mean, I can't help you in that. It's the old Davy Crockett thing, which I think we've read before, where they wanted to pass out some money to some poor starving widow, and he says, you know, it's just not us to do it. I mean, I'm sorry, would like to, but it's not the government job, not in the Constitution, can't be done. So governments around the world, industrialized world, he says here, have pumped billions of dollars into their financial sectors to bail out institutions, leading to charges that capitalism privatizes profits but socializes losses. Well, it's not capitalism that does that. It's the government people. I mean, they're pandering to their elected base. These are political decisions. They don't have to do it. They didn't have to do it. The government didn't have to pump the money in. They could have said, screw you, and we would have seen what would have happened. Rudd on Tuesday, who announced it, and of course he announces a $7.25 billion U.S. Equivalency economic stimulus package, and he's going to do an economic package for Australia to shield the vulnerable, he says, and boost economic activity. I mean, shield the vulnerable. What is all that about? I mean, I'm wondering, you know, everybody's vulnerable, I think, at some point or another. And so they got this.
Certainly, that's the downside of risk.
Yeah, I mean, it happens. And to boost economic activity, of course, the question is, when you take the money from one portion of the economy and put it into another portion, I mean, you're rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic.
And with one exception to that, and that is if you do what Obama's saying, which is you tax the rich people more, then you're actually taking out of the people who've made successful investments, who've bet well,
right,
and who've been rewarded, and then you're allowing it to be distributed or quote reinvested by somebody with a feel-good policy.
And who doesn't have a success history.
Right.
In other words, here's a person who's simply going to spend the money. Right. It's like inherited money. And you're taking it from somebody who has actually achieved something, who has created jobs, who has created a business maybe or something along those lines, and his cutoff is $250,000. I mean, I got a newsflash for you. There's a lot of small businesses, even in this town here in Gainesville. I'll guarantee you that are more than $250,000.
Oh, sure.
And they're going to... And
let me tell you,
so he
it's going to
okay,
be lower than that. Trust
well,
me.
Well, no, of course it will. It'll have yeah, to be. I mean, somebody actually did the math. They said it's going to be around $90,000.
Yeah, exactly.
But the point is that the question is always, and I've seen this in so many of the articles here, it says the government does this and the government does that. No, the money comes from us. It is not, as I've put on my card so many times, you cannot, give what you haven't first taken. So anyway, obscene failures in corporate governance, he says. Well, I mean, corporations fail all the time. Especially like a restaurant. You know, I mean, how many restaurants, you know, I don't know what the success rate of restaurants is, but it's probably about 20%. And that's, they fail all the time because they just haven't done it right. Corporate governance, which rewarded greed, it says, without any regard to the integrity of the financial system and so forth. Governments should act so that greed and lax regulation were never allowed to put the world in the same position again. I mean, here it is. This is a one-time sign. And here he's going to cure it with the world. He's going to cure the world problem ever. Forever, mind
hallelujah.
You.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, hallelujah.
That's pretty strong.
And he's adding that Australia would press for this at a meeting of the G20, of the group 20th.
Man, somebody should have thought of that before.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, I love this. Australia will press for this. I mean, the entire continent of Australia. You know, not him, not Rudd, not his finance minister, but Australia.
They're going to get everybody over onto one side.
Yeah,
and then they're going to push for it.
Yeah, that's it. Rudd said Australia would push for new global rules that banned excessive pay for finance industry executives. I mean, you know, they're not going to ban executives.
Sounds like a wage cap to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, but if finance industry, if you're in the mining industry, God, that's fine. No problem at all.
But yeah. Well, nasty bankers. Come on. Now, look, it's in the Jimmy Buffett song.
I know that.
Not a lawyer, a thief, or a banker. Wait a minute. I'm a lawyer.
Wait a minute. Global financial institutions need to have clear incentives to promote responsible behavior rather than unrestrained greed. I mean, what?
Clear incentives, not like money.
Yeah, right.
Some other clear incentive.
Okay, and the other clear incentive is going to be like we're going to put you in jail and whump your butt if you take too much money. But he goes on to here talk about things. The Rub said the government will work with the Australian Prudential Regulatory Agency APRA to bring fat cat pay packets under control. I mean, that is fat cat pay packets. You know, not anybody that earned it.
Rhymes.
Yeah, I know. I love it. it's just interesting. Asia's, and what he says, of course, he's lucky because Australia is insulated from a lot of the crash because they are primarily a raw materials producer and they sell to China and India. Right now, the world needs China's economic strength at a time when the growth is under threat. China's demand for raw materials to fuel its rapid growth has been the main driving force behind Australia's own economic boom over the last decade. But the point is, and this goes on with...
I got it, Jimmy.
What?
Earth insurance.
Earth insurance.
Insure the earth.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Let's just call up. What they ought to do is just call up Lloyd's in London, mm-hmm. find out how much it would cost,
right,
and then take out a policy.
On the earth.
On the
if
earth.
Anything happens
bad
anywhere, right. Like, right. You know, now you're talking about asteroids, hurricanes.
Well, I'm just talking about, hey,
That's great. That's great.
I'll limit it to man-made disasters.
Okay.
Limited to man.
Buy insurance against hurricanes and stuff.
What about the oil and gasoline that's seeping in right now? I mean, it's immediate. We have an immediate claim. You know?
Okay, I just paid my premium. I'd like to make a claim.
Yeah. Let me claim, yeah. Please.
No, $40 trillion. I think what they would do is, no. Pre-existing conditions not allowed.
Right.
Not going to sign that.
No. Pre-existing conditions not allowed. Got to be a new one.
Okay. It happened.
What are you, John McCain? Okay. What do you mean? Pre-existing conditions.
No, you wait one day.
Where's the compassion?
No, you wait one day.
Where's the compassion?
Then,
I love
and
that.
And then you say, hey, everything's leaking. One day. That's all you need.
Well, no. I mean, I think Jimmy's right. I think they probably argue pre-existing condition, but I think we get a waiver on that. I think we'll put it in the bill.
Well, the other thing is
pre-existing condition.
How about we just get 5% of the pre-existing conditions and 90% of the post-existing conditions?
What do you mean? we get.
I'm just trying to work in the pre-existing conditions.
That's a good one.
I mean, can't be giving up all the damage that's already been done.
No, I'm saying, what we do is
some kind of smoke in
here. Hey man, what I'm saying with you is
what is going on here?
Hey Jimmy, what's that thing over here?
The main thing is it really wouldn't matter because I would certainly call up Lloyd's of London. How about Lloyd's of Jimmy?
Right.
And we'll collect the premium and
goodbye. We'll collect the premium.
I like the premium part.
You can pay us up front.
Yeah, right. That's right. That's the way insurance is. You pay me up front, and you're insured.
Bye-bye.
What kind of spaceship can $5 trillion buy?
I'll tell you, it would certainly be loaded up with the right kind of females.
Well, you know, what you do is you take all the money from your insurance premiums and you buy weapons. Come and get it.
Yeah, that's right.
You want your money back?
Just make it through the field, baby. Walk the yellow line.
What are you talking about?
Pee in raw materials.
Our new town is called Claymore City.
You want to stay on that yellow brick road.
Yeah, that's right.
Made out of yellow gold bricks.
That's it.
It goes up to our golden palace.
Okay, well, that's great. Anyway, so basically what is interesting about this is, as far as this bailout is concerned, is that even David Brooks here is talking, the title of his thing is Big Government Ahead, but everybody is talking about more regulation. And they've said on this flat out, both sides of the aisle, both the Republicans and the Democrats are just saying, well, now we really have to tighten up on the regulation. And it's what is so funny about this is it is the regulation that got us into this. I mean, it never would have happened without regulation. The market would have never let this happen. The market never would have let this go. I mean, how can you imagine? Can you imagine having a multi-trillion-dollar liability in a private company? I mean, just would never have happened. It never would have happened. Except that they said, well, the government will bail.
Well, it was Obama's advisor, his current economic advisor.
Oh, Reins. Yeah, I know. Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, that one. It was all of those guys. Yeah. And it was what's so funny is that these guys, they don't call them on in the mainstream, you know, even on Fox News and the other, they're not calling Dodd and Reins. And who's the other one there? The other big one in the Senate or the House that was responsible for all this besides Chris Dodd. But I mean, these guys had their hands in it, and they
Obama?
Barney Frank.
Oh, yeah.
They have. And it's all over YouTube. I mean, this is one of the things about the internet and Google and everything. And I don't see how these people get away with it. You can go on to Google and you can watch the video of these guys at their press conferences 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago saying, this is the best thing that ever happened. Well, I'm so glad I had a handle in
we're
making
put
sure that
homeowners
we're,
in
you know, we're
going to
home ownership is in reach of everybody, and Fannie and Freddie are the safest things on this planet, and yada,
backed
on
by the U.S.
backed by the U.S. government, even though they're, you know, set up as supposedly non.
Right, well, they're private.
Pressured
they're
by private, the Clinton administration.
And the whole deal, and I mean, on and on. It started with Carter and went through the whole deal, and everybody went through to watch these guys, and then to have them, literally, you can show the video to these guys, and they look at it like, well,
that's not me.
That's not me. I mean, somebody else. I don't know where that came from. Don't know how that happened. I mean, it's stunning.
You're wearing the same suit.
Yeah, right.
No, that's not me, man.
That stain on your tie is the same, for God's sakes. I mean, no, it's just stunning. I mean, it's just stunning when you see how vociferous they were about how adamant they were that this was the finest thing on the planet. The government had succeeded in making sure that home ownership was a viable alternative for affordable housing. Everybody could own one now, and by God, and
no,
there's
it's
no
not
problem,
the, it's not
and
the,
it's totally safe, and there's no problem with this at all. And there can't,
land.
And in fact, there can't be a problem in the future. And they were saying this like 2 years ago, and today the whole thing collapsed. They said, "Oh well, what me? What us? No, it was some greedy Wall Street people that did it." Who had nothing to do with it, nothing to do with it.
Where's that Simpsons clip? You're living in a fantasy land with
magic frogs and leprechauns.
You're living in a world of make-believe with flowers and bells and leprechauns and magic frogs with funny little hats.
I mean,
it's not only that they were saying everybody could, they were saying everybody should own a house.
Well, not only that, but I mean, what's stunning about this, it was the regulations that caused all this, and their solution.
The regulations in the sense of what? Just backing all the risk?
Yes. And that's right. And also something like the CRA, which was the Community Reinvestment Act, that said, look, you really have to make a determined effort to, you know, if there's any way to get these people into a house, you have to, you know, really, you can loosen up the standards a little bit on these people, and we'll take care of it. You know, we'll make sure it's all right.
They started having
and they
loosened
up the standards by saying no down payment, for instance. And
but isn't that just unbridled capitalism, Jimmy? They didn't just green light these people to make the risky loans.
Yes, I mean, they did. They green lighted them with a taxpayer picking up the insurance tab. I mean, they never, if they had never passed the law that said the taxpayer would back you on this, they never would have done it. Nobody in their right, no banker in their right mind would have done it. But they said, look, if you want to take the risk
it's
on this one, we'll guarantee you the loan. You know, you don't have to worry about it because this.
Well, and they
because
are also threatening them with like reprimands if they didn't grant
right.
so many.
Well, that was right. That was another thing. If you didn't, now there is a guy who wrote a column. He was a liberal, but he wrote a column and he said, well, you know, in spite of all those laws, that isn't really the way it happened. It didn't happen that much. It was pretty rare. You know, people pretty much did what they were supposed to do or not, you know, it was the greed. It wasn't so much the Community Reinvestment Act or the Federal Reserve or the Fannie Mae or anything. It was really these guys that kind of went overboard on this stuff. And, you know, he didn't know of anybody that had forced anybody to make a loan to a subprime loan. Of course, I'm thinking of everything in myself. Just the name subprime. I mean, that's like underwater. I mean, what? You know, what I mean, you know, what? I mean, I wouldn't make a subprime loan just made on the name of the damn thing. Right. You know, we're talking underwater.
Right.
This is not any kind of loan that I'd want to be making unless somebody was going to say, I will bail you out.
Right.
I mean, that's the analogy that continues. Yeah. I mean,
right.
So these guys, but then when I was looking, and I think it was a relative of yours, Jack, that told me that she said, yeah. On more than one occasion in the real estate business, she called up to get a loan on somebody perfectly qualified, wanted to put down the 20% and everything. I mean, we're talking about golden, perfect, you know, credit ready, credit that was just absolute flawless. And they said, well, no, we actually have to make a couple of loans that are not so credit worthy people first in order to free up the money that, you know, that your
well,
people
would be. And I think the reality of it is they were much more blatant than that in their direct relationship. It really came down to, you know, socioeconomic status as well as race.
Right. Well, not only that, the other thing that they talk about in here, and that's something else that people don't understand the definition of, and that is credit. You know, you don't give credit to somebody. Credit is something that you earn. Credit is like respect. You credit is something that a person, yeah, it's what a person owns. The bank doesn't give you credit. You have credit when you walk into the bank in order to get a loan. It is your credit score that enables you to get the loan. They can't give you credit. And that's what they're talking about here is they're saying, well, we're going to give all these people credit. No, I'm sorry. Well, you're going to give them money is what you're going to give them. They got no credit.
Credit, right.
You know,
right.
That's what I'm saying about the way that they pejorize, if you want to call it these, if that's a word, these words. They make them not mean what they're, you know, it's like Alice in Wonderland. I say what it means. What was it, the worm or the cat or whoever was this? Those mean what I say when I mean when I say it or whatever it is. This is from Alice in Wonderland. I know I'm right on this one, and somebody's going to call it.
That's Jimmy at JimmyDone.com.
That's right. Right. Remember,
subject, well, Alice in Wonderland.
You know,
that's right.
They blame it on
Jimmy's
capitalism.
Blaming me on smoking things.
Seriously. You're bringing up Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah. That's
right. You know, they blame it on capitalism, but it's literally like as if they, like you've said before, Jimmy, put a whole bunch of money out on the table and say, now y'all can spend this, but don't spend too much.
Right.
And then be legitimate,
be honest about it.
And when they do, you say, look, do you believe that? We put that money out there and they took it.
Well, again, you only have to have, you know, one or two bad apples that really start to grab it. It's kind of, in a way, like,
it's like Halloween and candy. You can't
right.
put the,
you just put it, you lay it out there. And of course, if somebody, if you don't get your, right.
You put the whole bowl out there, man. They're going to empty the bowl into their bag, okay?
The first crowd.
Right.
And then you're done. And the reason they do it, I guess a lot of people is to say, well, if I don't do it, somebody's going to do it. I mean, you know, I might as well, be me as anybody else.
Right. Well, if the rules
are. And there's nothing illegal about it.
No, if the rules are, you can take as much as is there.
And then all the government is saying to you is, be nice. Well, you know, screw you.
There's a law that says you can take as much as there in Halloween candy.
As long as you avoid the monsters.
That's right. The Tunnel of Terror.
You know. That's
I love Halloween because it's the only night of year
we actually get more candy than we actually.
Well, yeah, that's right. We do.
Sure. That's right. We do get a little extra candy in the yard there.
Fleeing the children screaming to the.
You got to pick it out of the grass. You know? You do.
But at least the nice thing about candy these days, it is still in the wrapper. You know, when I was a kid, it was like raw and with razor blades and everything. But I mean now you're not allowed to do that anymore.
And so they got the wrapper, the plastic on. They're so tough you can't even get through. You need a razor blade.
Two layers.
Right. You need a razor blade.
Open it up. Baby Ruth with razor blade.
That's right.
Razor blade comes with it.
That's right. But we do put the fear of somebody into
something. What I love about Halloween is the only night of the year that assault is legalized.
Right, that's true. Well, you did see where they're going. They have the pumpkin ordinance.
Oh
down
my
in,
God! I'm
assault mad. Is legalized.
No, they have the pumpkin ordinance down in.
You're allowed
in,
to scare people.
You can scare the poop out of people.
Yeah,
and you can't get in trouble for it.
Can you scare the poop out of them?
Well, you saw where they have
you
the.
You don't want to dress up like backpack. I'm bombing you.
No.
And walk into the 7-Eleven.
Yeah. Obama.
Some of the 7-Elevens now say you can't come in with a mask.
Right. Yeah.
You saw where the sexual predators have to put a pumpkin on there.
They sent out, listen to this, sent out signs to all the sexual predators in the shape of an orange pumpkin.
Right.
Okay.
Which is kind of Halloween-y.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And on there it says, no candy here,
trick-or-treaters.
No trick-or-treaters.
Right.
And then they're required to stay home. The sexual predators are required to stay home on Halloween, and they can't have their porch lights on or give out candy.
Or answer the door or anything, and they have to have that sign out.
Right.
Boy, talk about the Scarlet Letter, huh?
Dude, this is just amazing. I mean, here's people who've served their time, whatever it is, and yet they're going to be, like, sequestered on Halloween.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a sexual predator, Halloween is jail night.
Yep, it is.
It's house arrest night.
For sure. And you have to have the sign out there.
Right.
I mean, that's
not a set of regulations.
It's not like you can just... You know, go to bed or anything, hide out in the thing. You have to have the little pumpkin out
right.
there.
Can't have a party.
Well,
can't have a party with your porch lights on.
This brings up the point of what is a sexual predator.
Well, we talked about that.
Yeah, I know, but I'm not feeling too bad for him.
I'm telling you right now. That
I understand
it,
that
it
the
could
person,
be anybody.
Right. Who next?
Well, let me tell you something about that. And then, so what is the fear here? What is the fear here, Jack? If you're out there with your kids and you're marching around and, you know, they walk up to the door, the bunch of kids with their bags and their masks, and they walk up to the door of the sexual predator. What's your fear?
Well,
grab them, man. No, grab them and bag the kids.
No, I don't have any fear because, I mean, he might give me a legal opportunity to use my firearm.
Your new concealed weapons permit.
So, no.
His costume, you mean? You're dressed
Say, no, it shouldn't even get to that point. I mean, it's if the person is a true sexual predator, they shouldn't be breathing, free.
Well, exactly.
Okay,
that's
the whole
point.
Right.
But
the point is this, that whatever the determination was, as strict as our criminal laws are, and they're strict here in Florida, this person is out. Okay? Right. So in other words, whatever they did, it wasn't that bad. I mean,
right. Exactly. That's one of the things I've always talked about bail, you know.
Right.
What do you mean you're getting out? They're getting out. In other words, it doesn't matter if you tell somebody it's $100,000 or $1 million bail. What you're saying is you can get out.
Yeah.
I mean, and so if you got the money, right. So here we are. Here's your sexual predator, and they're out.
Right.
So how bad is it? I mean, okay, it might be really bad, but whose fault is that?
It's not really bad. Because
as we've talked about before, there's a number of people who are scooped up into the system by the law, the letter of the law, which is just a joke as far as those particular people are concerned.
Yeah, and this net is grabbing all those people. It's grabbing everybody.
Right.
Trust me. And I guarantee you, if you don't follow the protocol, it's a felony.
Yeah. Well, as Jack says, okay, he'd like to have them all dead to start off with. Okay. But they're not. So they're living in the house. And my question is, like a lot of things, is what's the fear here? You're out there walking around with your kids and, there's 50 kids or 100 kids that are going to walk into this guy's house and he's going to give them candy. And then what? I mean, nothing. It's not going to happen.
He's taking a couple.
You're not going to miss one or two.
Yeah, there's 50 of them for crying out loud.
No, there's so many places to go there. Number one, though, if you're essentially encouraging and letting your children know that it's okay to go to that house.
Okay, but you're saying you don't have to do that.
Right.
I mean, you have the choice to not do it. Yeah, you have the choice to not do that.
Of course. So, I mean, we could take this as, right.
I'm asking about the parents on this. Where's the parents' responsibility for their own kids?
Well, I'd say.
Well, no question.
Jack's getting caught up, I think, in the word sexual predator, which everybody does. You know, you hear that and you're like, oh, Jesus, he's a child raper.
Right, right.
A child raper.
Well, that's why I preface this
whole thing with father rapers.
It depends on what you can say, what a true sexual, what this sexual predator is.
They've warped all those words around. And, I mean,
it's sexual something bad. Is that the only thing that you hear?
It could be the young boy with the, I mean, almost literally, the young boy with the dirty magazine could be the guy,
you know, the girl and the guy who were first in love when they were 15 and 17 and 14
absolutely.
Years old or whatever it is.
And then we've had that case.
You know, yeah. They've got two distinctions in Florida that they call it. There's one a sexual predator and the other one a sexual offender, but nobody knows that.
Right.
And they see, you know, sexual anything and they think child raper and killer.
But what about the erotic sexual massage therapist? Lady.
We'll get you her number later.
Yeah. We'll be stopping by her house first.
Okay, just want to make sure if she put a sign out, maybe with, you know, it could be a well decorated pumpkin. You know, there's
no children.
I would say a squash.
Right.
A squash actually would be more my like it. A nice
squash.
As long as you're going to use a gourd of some kind, I've got a gourd for that.
Okay.
I think we should
put a link.
That's an idea. Maybe I'll go get a special gourd and pumpkin and carve it for my front yard.
Jimmy has an idea. We're going to start marketing these for all sorts of types. We'll have the rainbow.
Next year, Jimmy will have one of these orange pumpkin signs on the front of his
head. Yeah, exactly.
Not allowed to come here. Lights off.
That's right. Be sitting right behind that front
door. At least
door.
We could do a Jimmy Doan show.
Yeah, that's right.
Just in case the pizza guy's going to trip over because he can't see you got to get here. That's the only problem.
All right, do you guys want to get into some light notes before we wrap it up?
I got one more.
You didn't talk about brown law means jail time. Brown law means.
Well, the other I did. That's a Gestapo thing. Of course, that was a lady who didn't water her lawn, and they wanted. And they're going to put her butt in jail.
Now that was over in Palm Beach, the original one, right? This is a new one.
That might have been the one that's Palm Beach, but the other one I had was 2000 deficit rise.
It says Tampa Bayonet Point.
Well, that was it. Then there was the other one that the lady out in La Quinta out there where Aunt Ruth used to live out there in Palm Desert or whatever.
California.
Yeah, and in La Quinta, right near Palm Desert, and she moved into a house 15, 20 years ago, and it turned out that the garage had been converted into a bedroom, and it had been converted. I've been out in that area, and I can tell you that it used to be a really low-rent community. Not so much anymore, but anyway, she moved in there, and the garage, what they'd done is they had just, you know, put the garage door down and nailed it down to the ground. You know, and done. And put a couple of windows in the wall and made it into a bedroom. You know,
it looks good to me, man.
Yeah,
what about you, man?
Exactly. I mean, precisely correct. And this is La Quinta. I mean, you have to understand that it's usually 110 degrees there, you know, 6, 8, 10 months out of the year. And then
it's Mexico North.
Absolutely. So anyway, the point is that the codes enforcement officer came by there, I don't know, 6, 8 months ago. And noticed a light shining out of the garage window. You know, of course, most garages don't have a window. And it looked like a garage. So he went up and he kind of pulled on the garage door and realized it was, you know, cemented down, glued down, nailed down or whatever. He says, you know, I think it's probably not a garage. So he went and got all his code enforcement buddies and they, you know, got a warrant or whatever, busted in one morning and rousted the grandson or whatever it was out of the bedroom, it was a bedroom, and they said, you know, you can't do this. You can't convert a garage into a bedroom. And they have
Well, they didn't do it.
Well, right. Well, that's what they're saying is they didn't do it. Bought the house that way. And they said, doesn't matter. The ordinance doesn't say that. The ordinance says you have to, you know, do whatever. Well, anyway, this 83-year-old lady, 86-year-old lady, whatever it is basically told them to go shove it on numerous occasions. She's obviously very cantankerous about the whole thing. And they finally got a judge, you know, he's fined her $3,000 or 30 days in jail. And so she says, I'll take the jail time. She's like 89 or something like that. And the prosecutor, you know, the codes enforcement people saying, well, we really want to do that, but she's got to obey the law. Hey, the law is the law. And, you know, so we really don't want to do that. And, you know, if everybody is on and on, and of course, it's still up in the air at this point as to whether she's actually going to, I'm going to follow up on this. But I mean, the point is, this reminds me of the brown lawn lady and the other one we had here where the jackbooted people are coming in there, codes enforcement. And you're thinking, you know, can't you handle this another way? I mean, literally, come on.
Man,
you know,
you don't cross code enforcement.
No, man. You don't. I mean, and they are like the prosecutors that you've run across sometimes, you know, like Nifong or whatever. I mean, they're saying it's not, you know, I'm just doing my job. It's something, you know, it's a public safety issue.
Right.
That's what they keep coming out. It's a public safety issue. I mean, can you imagine the criminal, the horrible.
Dude, that wall.
I mean, you
just
can't imagine. I mean,
hit a car that's driving by.
It could just sail out the way here.
Absolutely.
You just don't have a clue. And of course, it's been that way for over 15 years, but
no. If a tornado came by right here.
That's right. And if Dorothy was to click her heels on red shoes or whatever,
you know, they always phrase it in terms of your safety and success. I had to tell you, I had the doggy Gestapo come by my house the other day.
No.
Oh, yeah.
The doggy Gestapo.
Yeah. Oh, did they have dogs that were dressed up like German shepherds and stuff?
Yeah. Is this your, does your dog bite?
Yes.
Not.
Hey, why don't you put your hand down there
and find out.
So what were your dogs doing? Humping in the front yard?
No, there was like one of them, like who like walks himself. Okay. It's very cool. You just let him out the front door and he cruises around and comes back. If you leave him out there too long though, he starts chasing cars. So you got to bring him back.
So like when you came back from that week long trip of Disney World.
Yeah, you know.
And Bowser's still outside.
So I mean, they didn't catch him out there. So they don't know for sure. But
oh, they heard.
Yeah. Well, somebody reported him, and it's pretty obvious. I mean, he's the bad dog in the neighborhood or whatever. I mean, in the sense that he does that. He's a very good dog, and he wouldn't like bite you or anything. But they came by the doggy Gestapo, and they said, you're
in trouble.
You
have a leash law.
Oh yeah. And also there's a county ordinance about the number of dogs you can have.
Yeah.
And we exceed that number.
I would imagine you should.
Yeah. And so, it was just kind of
interesting. Did you tell them you were breeding them?
Doesn't count.
No. Yeah. I mean,
and now you got a license for that, believe me. Yeah. That's even worse. You don't want to be telling them that.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously. I mean, there's just no end to the trouble that you can get into.
You were watching one for a dead relative?
Yeah.
How many dogs are you allowed to have? Four?
Oh, you're allowed to have four, yeah.
Pow, pow.
Yeah.
There you go, officer.
What is the outcome of this?
Discharging a firearm in the city
exactly.
Limits.
Are you getting win. Are you getting rid of two dogs or what?
Well, no. It looks like.
Well, no.
Yeah, not yet anyway. It looks like they've basically said, if you just show us the vaccinations and tags and stuff will pretty much leave you alone if you keep your dogs on your property.
Show your papers.
Your papers. Your dogs have
your
papers.
Dogs your dogs papers have papers. Are not in
That's
order.
Right. They gotta have an ID.
It starts there. First, it's your dog.
I found the article. I don't think she should go to jail. She is an elderly woman, the prosecutor said. I do believe, however, that she should subject to the law just like everyone else. And I'm trying to think, wait a minute. You don't think she should go to jail? Because she's elderly, but she should be subject to the law. You do think she's supposed to go to jail. I'm sorry.
Right.
Okay. I thought you said next shove it to the law.
No. Blue Ash, Ohio. Police say an 89-year-old woman is facing a charge of petty theft because the neighborhood children accuse her of refusing to give back their football. The police have come over, and they are going to... she has to appear in court next month. The maximum penalty for petty theft, is a conviction in Ohio, 6 months in jail and a fine up to $1,000.
Well, the finders keepers rule.
You should see.
It came over
if
her
you,
fence,
when you, when
right?
you do this, well, when you do this, the landowner in her yard says, it's been an ongoing dispute in the neighborhood over a kid's balls landing in the woman's yard for some time. Her name is Jester. I think that's kind of cute.
Well, what's she supposed to do? Like,
well,
is she
here's
obligated
the deal.
To return
she
up, it?
No. Well, that's the point. They say they've charged her with petty theft, but no, I don't know. If you read the comments, it's funny. The comments, there are 309 comments the last I looked at this, and 308 of them basically said that she was okay. There was one of them that said, you know, the bitch should be lynched.
I had my football back.
Yeah, no, apparently what happened was, you knew why. The guy apparently had a lady like this that took his ball.
Right.
And
right.
As far as he's concerned, his mama. Well, you know what's funny? One of the guys said, you know, the way we cured the lady was on Halloween, we went up there and dropped M80s down her, you know, down her chimney or something. Yeah, right, right. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. You climbed up on her roof and you dropped M. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, now when I was
terrorist,
a kid.
Terrorist, act of terrorism.
No, when I was a kid, that was called mischief. But I mean, today,
that is terrorist.
Oh, terrorist.
No, you'd be like.
Weapons of mass
anyway,
destruction.
Anyway, everybody said that.
Weapons of mass destruction.
In the old days, I was just having fun.
No, it was.
No, I can tell you what the actual charge, hurtling a deadly missile into an occupied structure.
Okay. but the point is that the 300 of the comments were basically on her side that said the little shits, you know, should have known better. And
I don't see what they can, you know, she's not obligated to let them come onto her property to get it. And she's not obligated to, like, return it. I mean, she could just let it sit on her property.
Apparently she went out and got it, you know, and took it back in the house.
Oh, she's cleaning up.
Right. But I mean, it was funny because you're asking, but what's interesting about this is 300 comments, people said she was okay on this. Obviously, there's private property, yada, yada, yada. The kids, you know, this apparently had happened before. This is an ongoing dispute. You know, apparently their football landed in her yard more than once, and they just crawled over the fence and got it. And finally, she said she'd had enough of it or whatever it was. And what was interesting is to see some of the responses. They said, well, plant poison ivy everywhere, or, you know, glass spikes all over the place. I'm thinking, wait a minute, Claymore City. You know, I'm thinking, well, you know, wait a minute.
Glass spikes.
Take up bow hunting.
Oh, my God.
Hey, so here's one. A 66-year-old woman in Florida here refused to pay her Waffle House restaurant bill for $7.45. Apparently was so pissed off. Doesn't say why, just so pissed off she said, take me to jail. They took her to jail.
Oh, my God.
$7.45. Now, something must have really pissed her off.
Yeah.
And,
I mean, those
they're
those,
not telling us
those pancakes could have, I mean, it must have had something bad in them
something. I don't know. So.
Okay, next item I got here, two other things. One is that you saw where that we should have made some money. The guy who invented Ultima.
Yeah.
Lord
British.
Yeah, Lord British. Richard Garriott, a.k.a. Mm-hmm. Lord British, recently went to the space aboard the Russian Soyuz TMA-13 rocket. $30 million he got from selling his Ultima, you know, and his other program. He's just a regular old programmer, you know, Lord British, whatever it was. $30 million for the 12-day trip, and they said awesome. He got his money's worth. He said it was worth it.
Awesome.
Wow. I mean, I don't know when. Let's see.
Well, they left him up there.
Yeah, no. It was 12 days. I think he's
he gave him an extra 5 days.
I think he's just getting back. I mean, this was like a couple
30
days.
30 was just the one-way trip.
No, hey. This was no. It was 15. He decided to pay for both ways. And he says he's going to perform some experiments for sponsors as a way of defraying the cost. I'm thinking, wait a minute. $30 million. It would have been $31 million, but you see, you get
he
to
defrayed
do $1 million worth.
Did you see about the dead goldfish that got the voters registration for him?
No, I mean, I saw where they had like 37 Mickey Mouse forms or something.
Oh, yeah, 37.
I mean, and that's
this
acorn
was,
business.
This was Princess Noodleman, the goldfish. She apparently had died years ago, but.
And got a voter registration.
Yeah, got a voter registration for
I them. Mean, if you could get a car license or something. Of course, you know, when you say that girl looks like a fish, I mean, that, you ain't kidding on that one, boy. I've known some women like that.
How about this one? Man eats belly-busting 15-pound burger.
I saw that. I couldn't believe it. But he ate in 5 hours.
Yes. Well, that's it. He's 5'11", 180-pound.
Well, he was 180 pounds.
Well, now he's not
295 now.
The 15-pound burger with toppings and a bun that weighed in a total of 20.2 pounds. And they got a picture of this thing, and it looks like every bit of 20.2 pounds. And, I mean, it looks beautiful. It's
well,
just,
you know,
that
let me,
little Chinese girl could eat that whole thing in about 5 minutes.
So, yeah, I couldn't believe that. He got $400. He said 3 hours into it, it started to get tough. but anyway, he just wanted to see if he could do it. He won $400, 3 T-shirts, a certificate, and a burger hangover, as I call it.
You think?
Did you see about this?
You didn't see it.
You should have won some Pepto.
At least.
Or some laxative.
Well, yeah, exactly. You did, of course, we talked to you about every time that Jimmy takes grandma out to Amarillo. We always have to stop at the 72-ounce.
Right.
Big steak place. That's 6 pounds.
But you haven't eaten that one, huh?
No, I couldn't even.
Free if you finish it.
Right? Free if you finish 6 pounds, but you only have an hour.
Hey, you see this police impersonator? He was busted after he pulled over a real cop.
Whoa! Good move.
Oops.
Oops!
I'm not sure what they didn't say what he was going to do, and apparently got away with it, but.
And how'd they get him?
Well, he pulled over, used a fake siren and loudspeaker and pulled a guy off the road who apparently was an undercover or off-duty officer.
And?
And the off-duty called for backup, had real cops come in and bust fake cop who was behind him with the flashing lights.
Well, now the interesting thing is that why was he actually...
What was he pulling him over for?
Well,
yeah.
That's what it doesn't say.
Okay, well, then we need... Yeah. Come on, we need to do a little bit better than that. Two other... if you're going to bring something up here...
He was probably going to, attack and kill him.
Probably going to say, hey, I let you off if you slide me $50 right now.
$100.
Yeah.
Maybe. Okay, and then did they tell... Were they both males or females or anything or what?
I believe both males.
You believe?
Yes.
Because
it says...
Says Israel Gomez, and
Esteban.
Esteban Cardona.
Okay. The two other things that I've got here. One is that Chicago may get a gay-friendly school.
I thought that
was kind of interesting.
What do straight kids do with that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I was kind of curious. One of those things I wanted to talk. And the other one that I wanted to ask the counselor about was the new copyright czar. That they've got that is going to be a new cabinet level position in the Bush administration.
Amazing. They're gonna scramble to hold on to copyright as it dissipates into nothingness.
Well, what's interesting is apparently there's been quite a brouhaha over some election YouTube stuff and some videos and some songs have been pulled because some people are saying, well, it's fair use when you use a little clip of a video of somebody. One in particular, it showed the McCain put up a McCain made a video of an ad, what do you call it, a campaign ad, and it used about 4 or 5 seconds of him on a Fox News interview or something,
right?
That he'd been on for 30 minutes, and they made him pull it because they said it was copyrighted material, they had to pull it. And I mean stuff like, and of course the songs, they all get pulled unless
it's amazing to me that people don't see all the paradoxes wrapped up in the idea that, oh, it's the first guy, whoever's first, it's not whoever's first, it's whoever registers it first.
Right.
And you're like, well, okay, well, how do they register? What does register mean? I mean, why shouldn't register be bring to market? Just cause you write a map of something or, you express something on a piece of paper or in a song or whatever, like why? Why does that vest you rights in it?
Well, a lot of this has to do with this, which has recently passed, the Digital Millennium Copyright Rule, which has to do with how fast YouTube has to take something off after somebody complains. And even if the complaint's bogus, they basically end up taking the stuff off. Apparently.
They're going to create, it looks like, with the creation of this new czar position, just an amazing labyrinth of web of overlapping rules which are going to contradict and cut across each other. People are going to sue each other. And all you have to know is that when you turn on a copy of Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, the first thing you see is an FBI warning.
Right.
I mean,
what's stunning to me is when I get these things from Netflix, like you say, it's all, and it's not like in two languages, it's like $250,000 for each violation, plus
right.
like 10 years in jail. I'm thinking, whoa, what, for what?
Amazing.
And by the way, it is now illegal to fast forward through that.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
You can't fast forward.
No, that's right. I noticed that. You can't. There's nothing that works. That is so funny.
That's why I like VHS tapes.
No, I'm with you on the VHS tape. I still got my VHS tape recorder.
Yeah.
But I mean, that is so funny that you're right. When you hit the little button, it goes. It has a little circle with a line through it.
Yeah. All right, we got to wrap it up.
Okay,
that was a good one.
Yeah.
So, Jimmy's going to go on some crazy adventure.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. I'm driving up to Washington D.C. with Grandma, right.
and so you'll be back. We'll do one pre-election. Well,
Jimmy, you taking an MP3 recorder to get like a few clips here and there?
Man in the street.
Oh, good point. As a matter of fact, I hadn't thought about that, but yeah, I should get it.
Well, we're going to do a pre-election special at some point, hopefully before the 4th.
We ought to do a just post-election thing, since if we do it just pre-election.
Post-election things might be, man, some...
We got to do just a quick one before the election.
Yeah, we should do it. Maybe we could do it like a phone-in or something like that, kind of phone it all in. But the other thing is, what are the chances that that we could have another 2000 election? Well, Obama's going to win by a landslide, but what it would be great would be if we had to...
Jimmy's throwing the gauntlet down.
So you're making that prediction by a landslide?
No.
What do you mean, no? What the hell is that? Oh,
no.
That's like Obama. No, that's not what I said.
No, that's... I'm, That was somebody else here. What? Who's that? Who's that math man?
I don't know.
Well, he just left.
You know, early
on. Hillary. I'm still counting Hillary out. Would it also be nice if we had another 2000 where we could count Chad's again?
That'd be great.
Hanging Chad.
I love it. I would love that.
Contested elections.
And you know, let me tell you, there's gonna be a bunch of contests. They're gonna be. This is gonna be worse than the Florida thing.
No, he's gonna be so overwhelming in all the other.
That may be, but still, I bet you're gonna see all the complaints and racism.
It'll be harmless error.
Harmless error.
Yeah. Well, and Jack, you'll be fine because, like you said all along, anybody but Hillary. Now you get your wish.
Yeah, yeah. You're right.
Don't count her out. No, you know, you see this.
Holding on. Keeping the faith.
Fingernails. That's it. I got fingernails hanging on the cliff.
That would be funny.
Thanks for tuning in.
Yep.
See you next time.
Send us an email.
You guys have fun. Hey, this is Engineer Eric. Well, it looks like we're slated to have a new record month this month as far as hits and downloads from our site. It's all due to you guys, and if you feel like it, go to our homepage and click on the link at the upper left called Promos, and go ahead and email that link to whomever you think might enjoy the show. There are now some 40 really short amusing clips on that page that might make converts out of some people looking to have a little fun during their week. I mean, hey, if you don't want to do it, no biggie. Just thought I'd mention it. I thought the clips were pretty good myself. Anyway, you guys have a great week, and thanks for listening.